As the world watches tensions increase with Iran a year after the Trump administration pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, there are a few anniversaries coming up this week that have special resonance because of it. And for more on that, let's turn now to our colleagues at the BBC. This morning, we're joined by Rob Hugh-Jones from London. So this Wednesday is the anniversary of the downing of an Iranian passenger jet by a U.S. warship in the 1980s. So, Rob, why all of this attention to that anniversary this year?
Well, Lauren, it's back in July the 3rd, 1988. The U.S. warship, the USS Vincennes, has just entered Iranian waters in the Persian Gulf when it shoots down a passenger plane, Iran Air Flight 655, which was en route from Tehran to Dubai, killing all 290 people on board. Now, it was, of course, a huge story at the time and a source of bitter dispute between the U.S. and Iran. According to the U.S., the warship incorrectly identified the Airbus as an attacking F-14 Tomcat. Iran, for its part, said the plane was identifying itself as a civilian aircraft and the U.S. action was negligent. Well, later the BBC spoke to Rudy Pahoyo, a former U.S. Navy combat cameraman who happened to be on the U.S. warship that day.
One of the lieutenants, I went up and asked him, I said, what are we doing? He goes, you're going to see some missile action. And I went to the operations specialist who was watching the scope. And he's watching the missiles because he can track it off the radar, and then he sees it hit the target.
We had him got it. That was a dead on. Ethan Roy's down. Back it up.
But one of the, I believe it was a lieutenant who was on the port side, said that it seemed like the debris that was coming down was larger than a F-14 Tomcat.
Well, that's Rudy Pahoyo, Lauren. So this week we look ahead to the anniversary of that incident on Wednesday. But it's more potent this year because of the extra resonance it has right now. Fears of another incident like this are high. That's why the US is demanding its airlines avoid Iranian airspace at this moment. British Airways and others are doing the same thing. A period of high tension in the region then, a period of high tension in the region now, and that's why this particular anniversary this week is so resonant.
Right, that's right. So what is it that is going on with Iran right now that is raising such tensions?
Well, Lauren, today Iran says it's breached the limit on its stockpile of enriched uranium set under the 2015 deal with world powers. In other words, it appears to be abandoning some of its obligations under that deal. Quick bit of background for your listeners that don't follow every twist of this. As you know, the deal to limit Iran's nuclear activities was struck 4 years ago. Donald Trump hated the deal, calling it one of the worst deals he'd ever seen, and he withdrew the U.S. from it. Since then, the U.S. has ramped up sanctions on Iran, including those hitting its critical oil industry. The U.S. hopes this maximum pressure policy, as it's called, will bring Iran back to the negotiating table to forge a better agreement. But Iran is not compliantly returning to negotiations yet. Rather, it is looking to bring pressure on the Europeans, who think the deal works, by breaching the agreement in an incremental way, basically saying, look, protect our oil sales against U.S. sanctions or this deal unravels. Now, the most important thing, Lauren, is what happens next. Iran's threatened to increase its level of uranium enrichment to up to 20% from this coming Sunday, July 7th. That would enable it to get some 90% of the way towards having material that is suitable for a bomb. And, of course, that would really set diplomatic bells ringing.
Okay, Robin, we've mentioned one anniversary coming up this week, the downing of that airliner in the 80s. There's also another one you're interested in, this time in the northwest of China.
I know, we're looking ahead to a lot of anniversaries, aren't we, this week? Well, today, let's just move our focus for a second. Today, we're watching further protests in Hong Kong, which really center on the issue, if you think about it, of Chinese control. Hong Kong, of course, operates under the One Country, Two Systems Agreement forged with the British, so has a strong degree of autonomy from Beijing. The protests in Hong Kong are about fears that this system of autonomy is breaking down. Now, there is another anniversary this coming week in China that you've alluded to that will be less well reported than Hong Kong, but also relates to a region fearful it will lose what autonomy it has to Beijing. So this Friday marks 10 years since several hundred people were killed in riots in the northwest of China in an area called Xinjiang, which is now home to around 11 million Muslim Uyghur people. The riots fueled a Beijing narrative that labeled the Uyghur as extremists, and that's led to what the Uyghurs say has been a systematic persecution of their people. We have reports, and have had for some time, of up to 1 million Uyghurs attending so-called re-education camps. And we're also seeing some evidence that their Muslim beliefs are being suppressed. My colleague John Sudworth recently returned to Xinjiang to witness this for himself.
At the Idkar Mosque, Xinjiang's largest, China's supremacy over faith is being made clear. From the flag fluttering on the roof to the clean-shaven faces in the square below. This is a recording from the Idkar Mosque in 2012, as crowds, young and old, turn up to pray. Now, we arrive just before prayer time. There's no call to prayer anymore, and almost no one to be seen on the steps of the mosque or the large public square beyond. Inside, we count little more than 30 elderly men.
John Sudworth, my colleague there in Xinjiang, Lauren. So as we watch Hong Kong's fears for its autonomy right now, let's not this week forget the Uyghurs of Xinjiang. There's an anniversary later in the week that relates to them. But really, you can see the parallel between the two. There's autonomy is at the centre of both of these issues.
Mm. That is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones joining us from London. Rob, thank you as always.
Thanks so much, Lauren.